Thank you for listening to this message from Hope Fellowship in Carrollton, Texas. We pray this message encourages you and impacts your life. Feel free to pass this MP3 along to your friends and family, and for more information, visit us on the web at hopedfw.com.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone who played a part of while we were gone for 2 weeks and did the messages. Nancy, I heard that yours were amazing. There's actually a petition being passed around to make you pastor here. And Mazden started that petition, and he's got a heavy movement going on right now. But I love it. I mean, Ann has never said this about my messages. Parrot, she put on Facebook she could have listened to Nancy all day. And that just devastated me when I was in Colorado. Kidding. I want them to be more successful than me. And I hope that I hear that laughter. Love it. And then I'm sure I'm going to listen to Rhett's and Nancy's both this week as we got back. I've been very, very busy getting back on the running track. So want to thank them. Thank the ones who did ministry. And sound team, we appreciate everything you do. And worship team, it's amazing what you guys do week after week. And also, I want to remind us what C was referring to. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to listen to my message on the 5th and the 12th. And if you only have time to listen to one, do the 12th. Because it was about the days of Elijah when the woman lost her son. And you know, the church, when we're going through tough times, we constantly meet our mountain with a bad report all the time. Right? Anybody do that other than me? Even your prayer life is not intercessory prayer, it's complaining prayer, whining prayer. I have several t-shirts on that. I've learned this over this 30-year almost of journey. But it's amazing what this woman of God did when she lost her son, that when he dies, she took him to the prophet's room, not his own room. And I really beg you to listen to that message. Even if you were here, I encourage you to listen to it again. But when she goes to tell her husband to send a servant with a wagon, I've got to go see the man of God. He goes, it's not a new moon. It's not a Sabbath. There's no reason to be religious today. She says, it is well. So many times we come to our trial and tribulation and we speak the language of hell. We speak unbelief. We speak a lot of negativity. We speak the language of hell instead of the language of God. Then she comes to Gehazi because the husband gets her a wagon. And then she comes to the servant of Elijah. And her son's dead. There's a reality that something bad has happened. But what does she tell Gehazi when he comes to her to go, is everything okay with your husband, your son? What's wrong? She makes a prophetic declaration. It is well. As I was preparing the message, I felt like the Lord said that we need to go into a place of pulling down unbelieving thoughts that lead to negative speech. And that we were to do it until the first day of fall, because it's going to turn into a lifestyle of decreeing the Word of God. That we were to go from unbelieving thoughts and unbelieving speech to replacing it with the Word of God. And we were to do that until September 22nd. 9:49 a.m. is when we kick into fall. As Wendy K., wow, we got that much time to go. She looks at her watch here. I encourage you to do it. I know that I can speak for Nancy. What you heard last week was a woman of God of 30 to 35 years that has carried intercession in her heart. So don't come and listen to these messages lightly. You hear the journey of somebody. See, I wish Chris would have broke out a little bit more of what he's walking out in. He walked out a son having surgery and a daughter who gave up her kidney for Casey. You need to hear the language of what he's really walked out. And so he reads about Jehoshaphat and he says, man, all I can do is keep my eyes on the Lord and declare that his mercies endure forever. Do you understand what the parents have walked through? Don't take their word of ministry lightly. I believe the church, and I'm as guilty as anybody, we come to church and we listen to messages. We get inspired, we get enthused, and then we get into our car in the parking lot and we don't apply what we've just heard. Anybody guilty of that other than me? It's time that we change. When we get away on vacation, I do a lot of reading. We do a lot of praying. And we prayed for you guys, and the cold weather moved in here. It was cooler the 2 weeks we were gone here, and then I come back, and you're not praying for me because it's 101. Just kidding. But on the first day there, I love reading stuff about Graham Cook. This is a good book on wisdom if you really want to go deeper in God. And I want to launch out here, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to launch out into, I believe, some great places today. It says this: if you want to see things you've never seen before, then he's got period, 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 because he wants you to ponder on that for a moment. And for some of you, you ought to write this down. If you want to see things you've never seen before, you must be prepared to do things you have never done before. You see, we treat Jesus like he's Santa Claus. That I don't have to change anything about my life. I don't have to change anything about my time that I give him. I don't have to change anything about my preparation for even receiving on a Sunday morning. For I walk in at 2 till 10, and for those that walked in late, I'm not picking on you. Please hear me. That's sweetie. She's cold-blooded. She just called out a brother here. I'm glad most of you didn't hear it. But we must be willing to prepare for something. Do you know that for 90% of the year, I listen anywhere from 2 to 5 messages a week by the guys out at Bethel, by Wellington Boone, by Mike Bickle, because I want something more of God that I'm walking in. And I believe that I'm preaching and sharing with a group of people who I believe you want something more of God. You see, we prayed for Wendy Kay when she went off into her mission trip, and she's been posting on Facebook miracles that happened. See, I'm crying out for a time, and Nancy knows this. I've been crying out for a time in the book of Acts 5 where it says there came a season, the time of the early church, where all were healed, all were saved, and all were delivered. You see, when C and I go to Kachera also, we dream about one of these great cabin houses of buying one day. And we've been doing this for the last 15 to 17 years. We used to drive our kids would just complain when they were younger. And we'd drive around and dream about owning one of these cabin homes. We've gone in and talked to a guy by the name of Jimbo for probably the last 20 years. He's tired of talking to us because we never pull the trigger to buy, of course. Because you got to have money to buy. But I think that it's even prophetic. Do you know what the name of the realty, of his realty company is? All Seasons. Now see, you may not think prophetically like I do near as much. I can find the prophetic voice of God in a lot of different things. But I really do believe that this dream that we have at Kachera, and the name of the, and a scripture that burns in my heart for the last 12 years. All Seasons. God, bring the all seasons where the fullness of your glory is released. What are you doing to prepare for more of God? Are you wanting more of God? You see, I'm not satisfied. I thank God for what we've accomplished here in 2 years. But long after I'm gone, and the Lord tarries on coming, and this church is still going for 200 years, and all of us are gone, I want to have built something that causes somebody 200 years from today to hunger and want more of God. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank you for your goodness and faithfulness. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to manifest your life today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to release hunger into each of our hearts and conviction in the areas that we need to change. Lord, I pray that every one of us in this place want to see something of you we've never seen before. And Lord, I pray that every one of us will start preparing to do things we've never done before. Lord, we love you and we give you praise, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have quite a bit to share this morning. I want to set the backdrop backdrop, I believe, of what our third year is to jump off to. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Isaiah 9. You know, I don't know. I'm a big political buff dude. I watched a lot of the RNC last week. You know, the Democratic National Convention is this coming week. And so I want to know what a guy's core values are, what his beliefs are, and why he shares what he shares, the ideologies that he has, and all the different things of that nature. I'm a big fan of looking into ideologies, and then I want to know somebody's theologies of what makes them get up every morning and live for a core value that's in them. And so one of the things that I had been praying about for a while is the government of God. I look for a lot of us who are looking for a Democrat to be elected or a Republican to be elected, and what we really need is a greater depth and move of the government of God. So if you will, let's follow with me in Isaiah 9. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when the Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with the glory of God. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep, deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. That sounds like a lot of joy and rejoicing, doesn't it? For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of warriors and the uniforms of blood stained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For you see, a child is going to be born to us. A son, Jesus Christ, is going to be given to us. And the government of God will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment, the zeal of the Lord of the heaven's army will make this happen. You see, God's government is about coming in and revealing light to each and every one of us. His government comes to us first individually. These next 2 months in September and October, we're going to be talking about the government God, and we're going to be doing something cool about relationships. Have you ever noticed God's government comes in for those who are married, and he deals with the way how we love, how we forgive in a marital situation? Have you ever noticed how the government of God comes in and deals with you as an employee and as an employer? I was reading as I'm preparing these next 2 months about these different things, and I'm reading in Colossians, and it talks about us as employees for those who work for somebody. That we're to work hard, we're to do it diligently, we're to do it as if it was the Lord, doing it under the Lord. So for you who are working for somebody, do you work and do it with diligence as if it was Jesus Christ sitting in that chair in the front office? For those who own your own business, I think it's amazing. It says, oh yeah, those who are masters of people. I want you to realize that you're an employer, but you have a master who's over you. And it goes on and it talks about, do you treat your employees the way that Christ treats you? It goes on in through Colossians and it talks about, do the outsiders, people who are unsaved that are in our lives, do they know that we're Christians? You see, God's government comes deep within each and every one of us. See, right here in this small little community, it's easy to look and put on the Jesus face. You see, it's when I walk outside that door right out there that the people who I work with, the people who work for me, the way that I ride with the chaplain of the police department, the way that I love them, the way that I serve them, do they know that God's government's within me? You see, I believe it's time that truly the world realizes that we're redeeming that time, as it says in Colossians, with the fullness of Christ through our life. The only way that happens, God's government comes into me. And when He came into me as a believer nearing 30 years ago now, as He came into me in that arena, I was a slave, just like you read here. He broke our slavery. If you ever watched a movie or documentary on slaves, we don't think like royalty, do we? Slaves, they kind of mumble and complain, and slaves just kind of go through life. And Jesus, as He comes into our life, as He sends the Holy Spirit into our life to bring His government, one of the first things He starts teaching us how to do is how to love. You see, it's not in our natural tendency of our flesh to love. For those, again, who are married, He gives us a spouse who can sometimes be the very opposite of us. And He starts teaching us about love. He'll give us a boss who will teach us about love. You see, God's kingdom, His government's about love. And it's that light of His love and goodness and faithfulness. Come on in, guys. That starts moving in our lives to teach us about the government of His love. As His government comes into us, as we read in Matthew, it says that His love will teach us how to love our enemies. You see, His government wants to change something so much on the inside that we live from the inside out, not by a religious order of outside, but denying the power of God within us. His government comes and teaches us how to forgive those who have wronged us. His government comes into us and He teaches us how to bless those who spitefully uses us. You see, again, I love the Republican and Democratic Convention, but that's temporal. There's a government that came that was Jesus Christ, and He comes into our lives in the form of the Holy Spirit to teach us how to love, teach us how to speak truth in love. You see, as it says in Ephesians 4, each and every one of us must grow to a place that we can grow to speak truth in love. See, for some of us, we're very bent hard on truth, and so God's got to grow us in love so that when I speak to my wife or I speak to my children or I speak to somebody in the church, I speak to them with truth, yes, but it's wrapped big time in love. For some of us, we're just the love, love, love. And God's got to build us with truth. Truth deep within us. You see, every one of us are either bent big time truth or big time love. And if we're going to get to the place in Ephesians where we're not a group bunch of people tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, we must mature and we must learn to speak truth and love to one another. Hence, relationships. My wife can tell you, 30 years ago, I wasn't that guy. I could blow her out of the water with truth. Harsh truth. See, that's what religion does. But see, to be a mature man of God, His government had to come into me and start breaking me. Well, let me tell you some simple ways that He did that. Back at the end of my high school days, I was working for a phone company in the first few years of college life and single life. College lasting about 3 days. And I was working at a phone company. Had a great job. But there was a boss that was very jealous of me. And he got me demoted to cable crew. I don't know if you know what cable crew was. Basically, I was a ditch digger. I don't know if you've ever been in West Texas when the wind blows about 30 miles an hour. And you go home covered in dirt. And God has a way of His government, because we were believers at that time. He has a way of start stripping that pride off of us, especially us men. I don't know if you know about these great ditches we had to dig deep into West Texas to do a road bore under highways. Literally, there were some ditches that I would stand in that had been dug by a backhoe that was sometimes just from here to the ceiling. You see, God has a way of putting us in employment, putting us in relationships to teach us about His government of love. Let me tell you, there were many times that I was in that ditch around the areas of Hereford, Texas. And I was so angry at that boss. Again, I'd become a believer. I was so angry about the guy that he had said lies about me that now had me in a ditch. But you see, it's the reason we've got to start enjoying the journey and the process. I stand here today almost 30 years later, and the best thing that I needed was to be in a ditch at the age of 20-something, early 20s, that God needed to teach me how to love this man. He needed to teach me how to forgive this man. His government was teaching me how to pray for those who spitefully use you. He was teaching me how to bless my enemy. You see, our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against the enemy of a spirit of jealousy that came against that man that attacked me. My wife can tell you how I went home for 5 years. I did this job. Covered with dirt sometimes. Again, if you've never been to West Texas and get the 50-mile-per-hour winds, I would go home looking Hispanic. Yeah, come on. No wonder I had a call to Mexico 20 years ago. God had prepared me through the sandblasting of dirt. But I'm telling you these things. Don't despise what God puts you in. What did I tell you on August the 12th? If you will not take shortcuts or abort the processes of God, He will bring His breakthrough and destiny to you. Too many times we're like the children of Israel. We abort God's process. And God wants to teach us how to love. That man, that gentleman who was a few years younger than me, he passed away about 5 years ago. He was a miserable man, an alcoholic. And he was in a shower, still had that position, making a lot of money. He was in a shower, taking a shower, drunk as all get out, and his wife and his son was trying to help him because he was so drunk. He fell in the shower and hit his head on the shower handle and killed him. And my heart breaks for that man that he never, ever understood the fullness and the love of God. See, God puts people in your life to be a grace grower, to teach you about love, so that that great light that has been revealed to you, that love can pour out of you. How are you doing in your government with the relationships in your life? If you're married, how are you doing with the government of love to your spouse sitting next to you? If you're a boss or an employee, how are you doing in those relationships of loving, honoring your boss, and bosses loving and honoring your workers? You see, I told the elders about a month ago I was getting ready to move in the area of talking about government and talking about relationships. At the end of the day, when each and every one of us are on our bed getting ready to exit, it really will be about how Michael Rand and every one of us handled relationships. My relationship with God, my relationship with my beautiful wife, my relationship with my children, my relationship with you. It won't matter if I have $5 million in the bank. It will be about how I honored and carried the government of God in the area of relationships. Amen. You see, God's got to take us from a slave mentality, and then He takes us from a slave mentality, and we're already believers, but we're slaves. We think like slaves. Then He takes us and He gives us revelation, and we're servants. Then He gives us revelations, and we're His friend. Then He gives us revelations, and we're sons and daughters. And then when we really mature, we're mothers and fathers in the Lord. If you don't believe me, let's turn to 1 John. 1 John 2, great passage here. Come on, remember I like a little amen. You act like you're awake out there. Move some papers. Do something. Football season starts Wednesday. Come on, Cowboys. Oh, Jesus, help that boy. Yeah, Vernon's point. It's him. It's him. He did it. Yeah, amen. All right, 1 John 2:12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. See, there's three different areas of growth. One that just knows their sins are forgiven. Ones that they are mothers and fathers in the Lord and they've known that He's been faithful since the fall in the garden through Abraham and everything. Then there's that young warrior of men and women. They know Jesus enough. They know their sins are forgiven and they've been able to know enough of God's truth to overcome the traps of the enemy. Do you see it here? If you see that, nod your head. You see it? Okay, thank you, thank you. Just... the end of 13. I write to you, little children, because if you didn't get it the first time, God wants you to get it again. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Three different areas of growth. Three different areas of the journey. Three different areas of the process growing as men of God. I look at Tommy out here. We honor you, man of God, of the army that you serve in, the military that you serve in to us, and we bless you, my friend. You getting ready to go to Afghanistan, is that right? Say that again. In December. We want to pray for you before this service is up. Will you allow us? Cool. We won't do too much strange things, but... quit kidding, we won't do any. But we want to honor you and pray over you and bless you. But I look at him and when he went to boot camp, he may have not known how to load a gun or fire a gun. He may have not known how to climb the rope. And I'm just going by the movies I've seen, bro. So climb the rope and to jump over that wooden thing that's really high. Don't even know the name of them. He may have not known how to run the 5 mile with a backpack on and all of these things that you have to do in the military. You see, I went on vacation and I took my little 380 and I can't remember where the safety is and everything else because I'm not like my son who loves guns and knows how they all work. I've almost had to shoot myself in the foot figuring out where's the safety. It's a good thing a bear didn't come charging at me. I'd have probably had to throw the gun and run. And I know I could probably outrun Celia. And if you only outrun one person, you're okay with that bear, right? Just got to outrun one. We're with Annie because she went up there with her mom and dad. And we're walking and we're going, okay, if a bear comes out, because I'd forgotten my gun because I usually don't carry it. I'd forgotten the gun back in the cabin, and we went up to Trinchera Peak, and it's about 14,000 elevated feet, and there's this beautiful meadow out there, and we're walking out there, and Roxanne goes, well, what about if a bear comes out? And I said, you only have to outrun everybody. You got to outrun everybody but one person. And so, Roxanne, I got to let you know I'm going to trip you as we go running. She's 70. She's had a good life. Kidding, kidding. Make sure your mom listens to this message. It will encourage her. Now, where was my point? Oh, yeah. You got to train yourself in the things of God. You see, our military knows that if we're going to send them to Afghanistan, they've got to know how to shoot. They have to know how to carry a backpack and all of this stuff to be able to survive over there. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 that we have these mighty weapons in God, that they're incredible to pull down strongholds that are in my mind of unbelieving thinking for years or generations, that they're mighty in God for pulling these strongholds off of my family. But do we grow and learn to be like this process I just read out of 1 John? For those of you who have little babies, are you growing as moms and dads so that the stuff of the enemy that affected you will not affect your children and your grandchildren? For those young marrieds who are going to one day have those young children, are you growing and maturing so that your children aren't affected by spiritual traps that affected you? Are we as spiritual moms and dads, some of us older, are we growing in the ways of God's government that we're a blessing to the younger? You see, my life's not my own. I know that I live it for the Lord, but I know that I have to live it for my wife to be blessed. And Proverbs says that if I live a life totally sold out to God, that my children's children will be blessed. You see, I'm not wanting to make bad decisions that would affect you as part of this body. We have to come to the place that my decisions affect more than me. You see, if I made a bad decision, it would affect every one of you. We have to understand we're spiritually connected. How are you growing in your spiritual backpack? How are you growing of loading your weapon that's the Word of God? I'm going to start closing it up here. In Joshua 5:12, it talks about how the manna ceased that day for 40 years. Can you imagine? For 40 years, this manna fell 6 days of the week. They'd go out and get the manna, and it gave them life and nourishment. But then the manna stopped, and they had to start eating on the land of the Canaanites. You know, I believe that's a very accurate prophetic scripture. You see, if all you get this entire week is what I've preached on today, you're still eating manna and you're not feeding yourself. You see, later this evening and tomorrow and Tuesday, you need to be feeding yourself the Word of God. And I really believe that's the saddest thing that I see in the American church in a lot of ways. When I look at the polls, not polls, the numbers of Barnas and things like that, of where believers spend 5 minutes a day in prayer and 5 minutes in the Word, no wonder we don't know how to carry our spiritual backpack. I need to be carrying my spiritual backpack because myself, Celia, and sweet Shirley went and prayed for Steve Sandin yesterday. He's a young man who needs new kidneys and new lungs. He was in the hospital again, and when I walk away going and praying for Steve, I'm more blessed by him than I believe I bless him. You see, while he's been sick, he's written 2 books. I told Celia, he's like the Apostle Paul. Okay, devil, you're going to throw me in prison? I'm going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Yesterday as we go and we prayed for him, remember we got a couple of his books out on the bookcase in there. Well, now as he's been wiped out this last time, he's written a little pamphlet of scriptures. And he paid for it to be published himself. His grandmother and another person are doing a prison ministry and they're passing it out in prisons. I'm amazed of a man who the enemy's trying to knock down And Stephen knows that his weapons in God will pull down strongholds off over other people. I left there and I was blown away, and he gave us a pamphlet. He says, I want to give the church a box and I want you to pass these things out. In the midst of your trial and tribulation, what are you penning? Maybe you're not a writer. How are you living in the midst of your trial? Are you complaining? I mean, I left that hospital blown away. That in the midst of something that the enemy's trying to lead to death, Stephen's going, I'm going to pin life to it. He's allowing the government of God to bring forth fullness in him. Amen? So I want to talk to you about my 25, 26 year journey now. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it in 5-10 minutes. Some of you got worried. 25 years experience, this can't be that short. You're supposed to feed yourself. The manna has stopped. Bless you, bless you. Come out in Jesus' name. Kidding. I have gone to two or three Marriage on the Rock conferences to bless our marriages. Marriage. Those bad decisions I was telling you about, we're going to come clean right here in front of the whole body. Our marriage. I have read Marriage on the Rock that we have out here. It's checked out. There you go. He's making his. There you go. It's good. Don't go look for it. I know there's couples in this body who speak and teach at marriage seminars and are blessing in that way. I'm telling you that if you're a married couple here and you're having issues, are you doing Marriage on the Rock? I mean, we did the Love and Respect, and I'm going to have all of this ready to be checked out. We have something on parenting for those who need parenting. I know the Mazdens looked at that. Danny Silk, it's excellent on parenting. You see, the reason we do the bookshelf out there, it says that we all need to be disciples of Jesus Christ, made in His image. My greatest assets on earth are my wife and my children, and one day, hopefully, grandchildren. There's love and respect, and discipleship takes work. Really, come on. Marriage takes work. It's not just a fantasy thing that they show you on TV. Yeah, I know. It's a shock, isn't it? After the new Dallas just came out. So there's like 5 DVDs of Love and Respect that teaches you how to speak life to one another. Love. You see, I'm trying to paint something here that I've done all of this. And we still look to go and do things. We're going to do something, and you'll get an email on it this week. It's called the Kindle Life Language Profile. It was the greatest thing that C and I did in 1997. I found out that I was a mover and an influencer, and we're in this email that you're going to get this week, we're encouraging everybody in the body to do it. Because then we're going to have a seminar on November 2nd and 3rd that Tim and Debbie Chapman are going to come and even teach deeper on this. It's going to be a Friday and Saturday. They are certified to come and do this. Please write these dates down tomorrow when you get this email. Or maybe I'll give C a day off on Labor Day. I don't know. But anyway. It only costs $27 a person, and we've got to start sowing. Remember how I've been telling you it's time that the reaper overtakes the sower? You need to do some sowing if you want the reaper to overtake your sowing. And giving here and sowing into your marriage to make it better, to sow into your business to make it better, whatever it may be. But the Life Language Institute, because at Sojourn, as we did it as pastors and staff, and we all found out how we were wired and why we functioned and acted and said the way that we did things. And it'll be the best thing for your marriage and a lot of other things too, relationally. Well, I found out that I was a mover, loved the red fire truck and all the colors that come with that. And that I was an influencer, needed to be around people that recharges my battery. My wife is a responder, love, contemplator, responder. Influencer, love being around people. Contemplator, wanting to stay at home. Come on, babe, we got to go. Don't want to go. We learned at this little deal that we did in 97 that Fred Kendall told us that, okay, let's say Mike and Celia takes a ride and drive to Amarillo to see Grandma. As they're driving, they speak five words. Contemplator loves that. Influencer, oh my gosh, what's she mad about? And he talked about how when we get to Grandma's house, she gets out of the door on one side and says, oh man, that was such a life-giving trip. Mike gets out on the other side. What is she mad about? What have I done? And so we started learning that we were missing the mark in a lot of ways. Then you figure mover, influencer of Gary Chapman. It's all this stuff we have to give you that backpack of weapons to be fruitful in life here on earth. Of Gary Chapman's the five love language, which is serving, quality time, physical touch, gift giving, and words of encouragement. Well, guess what mine is? It's words of encouragement. I didn't pick the best job vocationally to go into words of encouragement sometimes. Mover, influencer, I would get this revelation from God of, as youth pastor or even today, and now we've learned to how to communicate, I would go to see and go, babe, you won't believe what God has shown me. We're to do this with the youth. We're to go to Rock the Nations. It's a prayer and fasting time. Man, it's time to go for God. Words of encouragement I need too. Contemplator. I'll get back to you on that one. I mean, I've told Celia, my greatest cheerleader is Wendy Kay. She laughs at my jokes, number one. Number two, she encourages me a lot. She really does. I've told my wife that. Will you help my wife with that, Wendy Kay? Can you get with her and teach her and help her? Kidding. We've grown because relationships take work, take time. Then God gives me an assistant for about 12 years who is a doer shaper. Doer producer. I mean, it even makes it worse. I mean, here Mike is in La La Land in the prophetic. Nancy needs to check off her list, man. Mike, you haven't let me check off my list. And rightfully so, she needs that. Oh, we had some of the greatest combative times of all times as a pastor and assistant. Just like some of the greatest combative times of Mike and Celia. In fact, at that life language, Fred Kendall told us, of all the people that have taken this profile, Mike and Celia, the way that we're wired, is the number one divorce rate that we needed to learn how to communicate. You see, she's responder. Love, love, love. My responder was 6th out of 7. So we had some, and I do love you, I promise you I do. But I mean, we had to learn how to communicate as a husband and wife. So I'm telling you this. Scripture says in Hosea that we die for lack of knowledge of God's stuff. I look at what's out there today. This past vacation, I read Spirit Wars by Chris Vallotton and Heavy Rain. I usually always have anywhere from 2 to 5 books going besides reading the Word of God. Dave Ramsey, when I went home and I told C I wanted us to get our finances in order better about 12 years ago, she said, I don't have time to do it. That was fine. Guess who did? Mike did. How many have done Dave Ramsey? Will you raise your hand? Raise your hand high like you're proud that you did it. That's good. That's good. For those who didn't, I encourage you to do it. There's a set to check out. There will be a set to check out. You're not going to get to keep it for a year. It's an 18-week course. When you check these things out, you need to go home and you need to do it. And you need to start applying it. Just a couple of things in closing here. Hope Andrew doesn't mind me giving him applause. Probably about 6 months ago, he shared during a ministry time of how he had a little season with God, quit tithing, and God had a way of taking him to that ditch digging hole. He lost his job. Money kind of started going out the door. He immediately got a hold of himself. The only reason I share this of Andrew is because he shared it publicly to the church. He started tithing again. He got a job, a better job. You see, we have to realize we have to live according to God's word if we really want to walk in blessings. Another family realized that they needed to give a Sabbath and a tithe to the Lord. And in the last 6 weeks, because they've implemented the Word of God to the degree that they have, they are blessed beyond measure, blessed big time. And one of these days, I'm going to let them tell their story. And you're going to be blown away when we truly start applying God's truth. Because what does it say in John 8:32? That it is God's truth that'll set us free. You see, I could go on and on. I literally have probably read hundreds, if not into thousands of books. How about The Three Battlegrounds by Francis Frangipane? Excellent, excellent book. Huh? It's a must read. It's Discipleship 101. Everything of Francis Frangipane I get my hands on. He's a lot like a Bill Johnson or Wellington Boone. Prayer and Fasting by Dr. Kinsley A. Fletcher. Anything you get your hands on of him, it's amazing what he talks about the kingdom of God. Read both of those. Enemies from Within, Norman Willis. For those of us who have inner healing wounds that I had and you may have still, it's important to read these things. I did shadow boxing with Henry Malone. And I mean, we're in a time of deliverance and understanding inner healing, of victory. That's great. Back in the days that we first started doing it, I mean, basically they expected you to throw up into a chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket. I mean, we've really come a long ways of understanding good deliverance stuff. For some of those of you who are having some demonic activity in your homes, Ridding Your Home of Spiritual Darkness by Chuck Pierce and another precious lady is amazing to read. Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I don't know what you think of Benny Hinn. It's an excellent book. I read it about 20 years ago. Benny's had a little few issues recently, but you mean what? Tell you how he helped me when I read that book 20 years ago? Every morning. Over the last 20 years, I will literally wake up because Benny told you in the book to do it like this. Good morning, Holy Spirit. How do you want to use me today? You see, I don't have the answers to everything. It's the reason I look to men and women of God who've gone on this journey. And so in other ways, when I read the Bible, if not every time, I say, Holy Spirit, would you come and release the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge as I read the Word. I've learned that from Terry Moore's and the Tim Chapman's. And I take what I knew and add to theirs. And it becomes a cluster anointing. And it's a blessing to my wife and to my children. And I hope to you. Then there's The Power of a Transformed Mind by Bill Johnson. Let me tell you what, we ought to all be thinking the thoughts of God. It's a great read. It's a must read. I read this probably 20, 25 years ago by Mahesh Shavda, the Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. The first chapter alone will transform you. Mahesh Shavda was in the tornado in Lubbock, Texas in 1971. He was a good old faithful Hindu, I believe. And the tornado was getting ready to hit Lubbock, Texas. And he hears this audible voice that tells him to get behind the couch. He didn't even know there was a tornado warning out there. And he said, what was that? And he doesn't move. And about 30 seconds later, this powerful force that he now knows today is the presence of God knocks him literally up and over the couch. And the tornado in about 5 seconds hit his apartment. And if he wouldn't have been behind the couch, he'd have been dead. In that ordeal, he comes to know Jesus Christ. And in that ordeal, he ends up, I believe he's done like 27 40-day prayers and fastings, about 20 Daniel fasts, which are 21 days. It's amazing what he's learned. And in that first chapter, he worked at a handicapped place in Lubbock, Texas. And there was this little boy named Stephen. Stevie, he called him. And he was so violent that literally they had to bandage his hands to his legs, basically, because he would just claw his face. And as he worked in this handicapped place, the Holy Spirit started teaching him about prayer and fasting. And he went on a 21, this is all in the first chapter. He goes on a 21-day prayer and fasting. And on the 22nd day, he feels the Lord tells him to go pray for little Stevie. Being that it was a government place, you just couldn't do it out openly. So he took little Stevie into a private room. And he started praying over Stevie and rebuking demonic spirits. About that time, he said the boy started convulsing and a very foul odor came out of Stevie. And Stevie was healed. You see, as I read these books, it taught me about prayer and fasting and took me into the discipling of prayer and fasting. Now, I have not done 40-day prayer and fastings or things like that Mahesh has. But you see, it's time that we as believers, just as Tommy in the natural, we've got to get our backpack prepared of spiritual weapons that are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You need it personally as God's government comes in. Your family needs it. Your workplace needs it. Your city needs it. Our nation is in desperate need of spiritual men and women of God. Amen? All right, let me pray for us. If you will, just, you don't have to close your eyes, but I just want to ask you a question I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do. What he wants to ask you. What do you want to see? What do you want to see that you've never seen before happen? What are you willing to be, to go through preparation, to have those things come forth? Something about your marriage? Something about a healing. Something about relationships. If you want to see things you've never seen before, you must be prepared to do things you have never done before. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd come and teach us. Teach us how to be men and women of God. That have your government deep within us. And have your government touching the nations. Lord, teach us how to be disciples like you. Teach us that when we leave today, we must feed ourselves. We must ask you, Holy Spirit, Lord, what do I need? What needs to be my diet as a man or woman of God with you? Teach me your love, your truth, the fruits of forgiveness that is love. And Holy Spirit, may we truly become those spiritual mothers and fathers, even at young age, that know the Lord from the beginning. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just in closing on some announcements, I really encourage you as we send out these emails, we're going to start a class on September the 23rd. And the elders and their wives, we're going to rotate. One of the things that I just prayed and we prayed and we prayed while we were on vacation. There's some of us, we just don't know the very biblical foundations of God's love. We don't know the biblical foundations of why we give. We don't know the biblical foundations in different things. That's okay. Neither did I years ago. We're going to start a class and it'll go from 8:45 to 9:45. It'll go for 8 weeks and we're going to begin it September 23rd. I want to invite you to show up and come. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be great. We're going to have child care. I also can't encourage you enough to do the life language profile. I can literally tell you today, it was the number one thing of C and I learning how to relate. What was amazing and how I told you earlier about how God will so many times put opposites together. Well, Tim Chapman, who was my boss at Sojourn, according to Fred Kendall's profile, it was the we were the opposite of one another, and it would make it very hard in a working environment. Tim and I were best of friends then, and we're best of friends now. See, God puts those crosses in our life to grow us and mature us. I encourage you to get on the life language. We'll put the website on there. You'll go to it. You'll just pay $27 a person or $54 a couple. You'll be able to print it out. You start getting yourself familiar with the language. And then we're going to move into that in that weekend seminar. Also, we're going to be putting in there about some different things. If you need prayer of inner healing issues, because I'm going to be talking to my inner healing team very, very soon, because we really believe that this is the year that each and every one of us get more and more free, or free all the way, and live wholeheartedly for the Lord. Amen? So if you haven't given your tithes and offerings, it's up here also, and we sure love you very, very much. Again, we thank you for praying for us while we was away. When we left that last morning in Colorado, it was 49 degrees. 39? 39. Thanks, babe. Yeah, it was hard coming back into Dallas, and it was 99. So I think that Dallas is just a hair above hell, actually. I think we catch some of its flames, apparently. Yeah. So anyway, if you will, let's stand and let's pray. Well, Father, we do just ask that you'd make us disciples of you. God, what disciples Peter and John and those guys were that... religious people in Acts 4, 12, and 13 could not even stand against the truth and the wisdom of God through Peter and John, that they literally said, man, we can tell they're uneducated and untrained men, but they've been with Jesus. Lord, as I pray that each person, you'll show them the material they need to start digesting, processing in their spirit person to be whole spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally, so that they can be those mature men and women of God. So, Holy Spirit, I speak your blessings over all these precious people, that you'd bless them spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd allow your government to come deep within our lives, and at the end of our lives, every relationship could be checked off. We loved well. Just as Paul, it was said of Paul, I have fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, and I've finished the race. Lord, let that be said of each and every one of us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.